Blog Talk Radio. Imagine if right now you could truly believe and know that love is on the way, no matter what is happening in your current love life. Stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, a few poetry books, and the life-transforming love lessons for your soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. And in every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who just keep proving that life can and often does get better, much better, as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Today's guest, with a background as a nurse practitioner, Carlita Nabors-Palermo helps single women seeking to create profound love and joy in their lives. Her work is practical, centering authentic self-love and self-worth as the foundation of sustained wish fulfillment. Her unique blend of modalities, which includes an empowering outside-the-box take on astrology, Akashic records, and various other psychological and esoteric tools. She combines that with her natural gifts as a channel for divine love and guidance. She helps identify how a person is uniquely designed to create a life of great love, revealing the gifts and approaches that are key to their joyful, sustainable manifestation. Clients are guided to integrate these insights into their day-to-day for transformed lives that are grounded in true self-worth, full of fun, love, and happiness, beginning immediately, not tomorrow, starting today. So I am so delighted to welcome you, Carlita.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica. It's really awesome to connect with you again. You're such a neat lady. I just love all the things you do.
Thank you. I'm so excited that I'm speaking on your summit. And I was saying to you before, it's really wonderful for the viewers who come to your summit where you're interviewing all these people to learn something about you, the host. So I would love you to tell us about your background, education, training, and your natural gift. What has led to your helping women to really create love and exciting lives?
Well, that's so generous of you to turn the light back on me. I'm so excited to present this summit because, as we were talking about before as well, these summits really do have the potential to change people's lives. My own life has been changed by connections I have made listening to other people's summits, and I'm just so thrilled to present all this information. But it's nice to talk about my own story as well, so thank you for asking. My own journey has been long and circuitous. I started, you know, my first degree was in religion, and I was very interested in spirituality as a young person because I understood that what we believe about life determines how we're going to live it. You know, I was a 10-year-old And I realized, you know, if I believe what they're telling me in Catholic school, that's going to lead to a very different set of life choices from what I might choose on my own, you know. And so just, it was always a natural interest of mine. But once I graduated with that religion degree, it became clear that my freedom was way more important to me, and I wanted security and freedom both. So the healthcare profession had called to me. I came from a medical family, and I couldn't turn away from that. It was the most immediate option that had meaning, as well as allowing me a lot of options in terms of where I could live and what I might do. So I wound up becoming a nurse practitioner, but I still just couldn't shake this spirituality side of it, in the sense that, you know, there's a lot that I can offer people that's not on the healthcare menu. So I had no idea what this was going to be. And one of the most important things I can share with your listeners is that if you have a desire to go out and create a different life, you cannot expect for the plan to be laid out neatly before you. This clearly preordained set of magic steps that you, like, you know, here's step one and then here's step two, and you can see how it's going to go. You just have to be willing to take the step or two right in front of you, right in front of you. And that's as good as it's going to get. And it's a surrender. It's a constant surrender. It's a willingness to make different turns in different directions. So, you know, I didn't know how this was going to go. I just sensed this longing deep in my soul to do something that was never going to be part of what was asked of me in the nurse practitioner role. As much as I mean, I still have a hospice job with as a nurse practitioner, and I work online from home with them, and it's a very valuable experience for me still to have that in my life. But there's just so much that I do with people in other contexts that I would have been incomplete without that. So I never expected for astrology, which was something I had studied for many years for my own self-understanding, I never thought that was going to be part of what I did. I started off thinking maybe I'd be a health coach because of my health background. And then the next thing I know, somebody's hiring me for a astrology reading. And it was the best reading I had ever given, because somebody was really invested in it. And when you're working with somebody who's invested in a result and really wants that result, such that they're willing to pay you for it, it brings out a different level of information for them, because they're wanting it. They're available to it. It was an extraordinary experience. So I wound up doing coaching based on Akashic Records and astrology and the Enneagram and all these other incredible lenses into who a person is at soul level, and what you might call it karma, or you might just call it lessons. You could call it whatever is right to be transformed in them to unleash more of their true potential. And so I was doing that for some time, and I was honestly avoiding the subject of love, because it was, you know, as one of the other speakers on our summit, Ken Page, talks about, your core gifts are often areas of deepest pain and vulnerability for you. So I had a very long journey around self-worth on a personal level, and what I found through not directly addressing the self-worth and self-love deficit in my life was that until I did address that deficit, I was never going to achieve sustained success in any of the areas of my life where I had desires that I was pursuing or a purpose to fulfill. You know, I was going to sabotage my journey in some way or another constantly until I finally really went straight after the self-worth and self-love issues. And once I did that, my life really changed.
I have so many questions to ask you, but that I was spurred by some of what you said. Yeah, first of all, when you mentioned Ken Page, both of us were enrolled in a training a long time ago with Alana Rubenfeld, and which opened up our hearts to the mind-body-spirit connection. You know, so we go way back. But
no,
besides that, before I ask you about, just to explain what Akashic Records is, and stuff, I just wanted to, this just popped up to me when you mentioned that you work with hospice. How has that affected you? Have you had any experiences with hospice, with a dying person, that you just saw something or felt something that had an effect on the work that
goodness,
you do?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. Definitely. I think many different experiences in my life have led to this. I was also in an ayahuasca religion for 5 years. Honestly, it's only legal in the state that I live in right now, Oregon. But I was a member of this ayahuasca religion for 5 years, and ayahuasca is a psychedelic. It's considered a drug, frankly, the American legal system.
Right.
But it's a sacrament, and for me personally, it was not something to do forever. But it led to a lot of awareness of energy as absolutely real. And I could see the energy, and I could experience, and energy would move through me, and I was a physical channel for things. Same in hospice. You're working at the edge of the physical reality where somebody is about to depart this physical life, and the fact that they are still a soul and that they still exist, that life is more than just this body. Through both of those experiences, I had different angles onto the fact that we are not just our bodies. We are not just material reality. And, you know, I mean, I would see so many things happen that just made it very clear, exiting our bodies, but we are not. Let's just put it this way. I don't know anything and everything. I can't say anything for absolute true. But I can tell you that from what I've seen again and again and again in hospice, it makes more empirical sense to conclude that this physical life is not all there is than to assume that this life is all there is, and we just die and that's it.
Wow. And now I want to ask you to just explain, what are the Akashic Records and how might you use that?
So the Akashic Records refers to basically your record as a soul. So since you became differentiated from the oneness and you became the soul that you are, that's not just part of one with everything, there's different layers of separation from that oneness. And when we get down to a certain level of individuation, we call that your soul. And the Akashic Records are just the fact that nothing that's ever happened, no choice that's ever been made, nothing about your divine nature as an individual is ever lost. It's always there and available with permission to be accessed. That's not something, you know, I mean, you can read so much about somebody on an energetic level without their permission. And when you're very intuitively attuned, that's pretty simple and straightforward to do with your biases out of the way anyhow. But the Akashic Records, you need permission to really get accurate information, because it's not just public. This is on a deeper level than that. So what I'm doing when I'm looking at somebody's Akashic Records is looking at their divine soul blueprint, basically like who they are uniquely as a soul, and the choices that they have made since then. The ones that are interesting to us in doing a reading are the choices that have separated themselves from that divine nature and from the mm-hmm. vital energy that comes with being connected to your soul, so that we can offer somebody the awareness to make different choices that are more aligned with who they really are. And of course, alignment opens you up to abundance of all forms. So not trying to get energy from, you know, creating drama with the neighbors or things like that, but instead opening up to the energy of your own soul and expressing your soul gifts and the ways that you were designed to succeed and to connect with love and to connect with your true work and things like that. If that makes sense.
Yes,
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes. And one more question, just because you have a unique take on this. So how do you use astrology? Where does that come in to your work?
The astrology, so I, you know, astrology has become really popular again in recent years. And it kind of makes me grit my teeth when I hear people say, oh, I can't do this because I'm a Taurus or a Gemini. And it's often these days used in this very stereotyping manner that basically ends the conversation rather than expands mm-hmm. it about who this person is and what their capacities are. And I use astrology to say, well, for one thing, it gives me a very clear lens about the nature of a person's gifts wrapped in challenges. So we can identify these are challenges that you have faced, and thus you've cultivated some uniquely special gifts as a result of that, or these are ways that you can understand this. So it's a healing reframing of our challenges in some ways, and also just an acknowledgement of a person's true nature. Like, for example, the first time anybody ever read my chart for me, they acknowledged all of these Pisces parts that had never had words put to them before in my life. Nobody had ever named my sensitivity, named my tendency to pick up on psychic realities. I mean, there's other things in my chart indicating all that, but like nobody had ever truly seen or acknowledged to me these parts of me that were so important. So to have that brought out so that I could examine and work with them and acknowledge them really changed things for me and really transformed my relationship with the more difficult aspects of things and allowed me to appreciate the gifts of them in a new way and just gave me access to my true nature in a way that I'd never experienced it before.
Yeah, well, and I had an experience once in Central Park with four friends. We were all pretty close friends and we knew each other well. And I think I was reading an astrology book. So we all, you know, were just saying what our sign was and then we were reading about each person. And it was amazing how accurate it was for that person. Like we knew the person and then these traits, even though we didn't have the whole chart. But it was really fascinating. I'll never forget that. So,
but some people might not recognize what the I'm an Aries, but I don't identify with the descriptions of Aries at all. And it is because you are more complex than that. Often people will identify with their sun signs, and very often people will not. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. But the simple answer is that we are so much more than our sun signs. And also our sun signs are things that we kind of grow into in certain ways. It's like, the plant grows toward the light. It's not the light that we are necessarily born expressing in full either. So it's just more complex than that. So for anybody listening who's like, well, I don't identify with my sign, just so you know, it's because you are more than that. So you might identify with it and you might not. And that's fine.
But I guess it also depends on the strength and the number of other planets and if they balance it or somehow.
Absolutely.
You know, block
well,
it.
Very often, you know, so my sun is in Sagittarius and I have Venus in Sagittarius and the Venus is at a very strong point in my chart that makes it more visible. And so Sagittarian energy is very obvious on me, even though I have a lot of Pisces too, you know, so there's many things that make certain things seem more apparent and they're all like, it's like different shades in a watercolor painting, you know, there's just so many different factors that, where everybody's unique. There's not another person with an identical chart in the world, but also, you know, it is just a map. So even if somebody has a very, very, very similar chart, they were born in the same hospital at the exact same time, they're born into a different environment. They're born with a different soul. So the map will never be as rich and complex as the territory, which is why it's, you know, helpful to have, I would say, a sensitive reader looking at it, who's not trying to put you in a box, but is trying to elicit the true potentials within it. And it really is a channeling process. When I'm in a reading with somebody, things will come out that I certainly didn't see before in my preparation for the reading. You know, things are coming through in the sacred space of the reading itself that I wouldn't have had access to in my conscious mind, you know.
Absolutely. I just wanted to share, since we mentioned signs, that my sun sign is Aries, but my moon is in Libra, which is more balanced, and my rising sign is Cancer, so there's more emotion. So I'm not just this Aries that's aggressive, you know, there's a combination.
But, yeah, you've got so much nurturing and relationality to you, and yet you are an athlete, and you are such a go-getter. You're such a beautiful expression of your chart from what little you just told me of it.
Well, thank you. That's really nice. Okay, so now let's get to how do you work with women? How do you help them? What do you do?
Well, we start off by doing a big reading that I call a catapult session. when I have private clients, we'll start with the catapult session, which is a long reading that integrates astrology and Akashic records and Enneagram and other things that come through psychically. Like I said, it's a channeling session. It's a sacred space as well. And then we will, once we see, okay, who is this person as a soul, that gives us our design for understanding what we're guiding you towards. And I mean, of course, we'll also elicit your vision, and we'll look at that. But it helps put words on the exact nature of a person's blocks to self-love. And then when I have specific tools that I'll use to help somebody work through the things that are stopping them from expressing all that they really are and opening to the divine abundance that comes from that, like I said, whether it's love or their finances or just joy. So many people are not really open to joy, and we don't understand the importance of this. It's as important as any other nutrient, my idea, you know. And so just to really help somebody open up to that and to become to awareness around what's stopping them, but not just like an intellectual awareness, but a practical embodied awareness to bring that understanding of themselves into their practical life, not just like talking about it, but living it.
All right. So another question related to that is, so many women, they may not realize that they feel unlovable because sometimes they're outspoken and it sounds like they stand up for themselves, but they really inside feel unlovable. And
true,
they seem to choose partners who don't appreciate them. And, you know, or they just can't even get into a relationship. They keep struggling. So how do you help someone in that state, struggling with partners or the wrong partners or that kind of thing?
Well, that was me. Because I've always been a go-getter and accomplished a lot of things and looked on the outside like I was having a great time. And still, when it really came down to it, you know, it was the partnership thing that really brought me to my knees and really brought me into, I mean, something going wrong with somebody I was dating and the relationship not working out and not making me feel good, whatever it might be, would always knock me off whatever momentum I had created in my life, in any area of my life. And it was incredibly painful to go through that again and again. So what it comes down to in that situation is really looking at the relationship with oneself. This is the deficit that I see in every single person I work with. If you're not creating a life that is full of joy and that reflects your dreams, I can almost promise you there's an issue with self-worth and self-love, how you relate to yourself, how you are prioritizing that relationship with your own inner child, how you are connecting with your own authority, you know, in a clear way, in a truly guided way, as opposed to from an egotistical or childish way, really connecting with yourself and having that relationship be the central one in your life. And it doesn't mean giving up relationships with other people, but it allows those other relationships to actually be healthy and balanced because you're not looking to somebody else to do for you what a truly self-loving person can and does do for herself. So then you're able to show up as a full partner and to fully support one another and to hold high standards for your life and to show up in such a way that allows other people to show up in that way for you as well. Because when we don't love ourselves, we behave in ways that block us from receiving love, even if it would be there with that person that we're already seeing or married to or whatever the situation may be. So it's about reestablishing
that relationship
with oneself.
That's something that a lot of people just don't realize, that it's the way that they are coming across to the other person that keeps enabling that other person to not treat them right. Because the person
right.
may not even realize because they're not speaking up in a way that they can be heard, you know. So,
right.
So what?
And there's
you,
no blame
what
in any
are
of
you
this. There's
to
no blame.
Them? No,
say
not blame,
time,
but
the
question. What are you committed to helping your clients achieve in that area?
I'm committed to helping my clients achieve authentic, sustained self-worth and self-love to create such a solid relationship with themselves, a solid, healthy, loving, joyful relationship with themselves, that all their other relationships work naturally. And it doesn't mean that shit doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that suddenly our lives are flawless. But we have the tools to really work through any relationship issues that arise, to stand up for what we need in a healthy way that's not demanding, but that is true to ourselves and respectful of everybody, to stop putting other people on pedestals or putting ourselves above others. I'm committed to helping people become loving adults with themselves. And there's no shame in being where you are in the journey. So also there's a lot of helping people pass the shame that comes up when we're doing the work on ourselves, because it's an opportunity when we start to try to change these things. That is often an opportunity for that inner critic to come out and berate us for where we are.
Oh, for sure.
The struggles that we encounter in that journey. So I'm also committed to helping people, you know, go through the journey itself in a way that is loving, because that's a big obstacle for a lot of people, is that they take themselves down as soon as they start because they feel so terrible about the things that they're encountering. And it doesn't have to be that way. The learning to love yourself feels good. It feels wonderful.
And also, as you're talking, I'm thinking about women who are really successful in business or successful in bringing up children or successful in some areas. It can be harder for those people to accept areas where they're not so successful. They feel like they did everything wrong, and instead of loving themselves.
Yeah. And that's always what's missing. It's all, you know, you can be so driven to accomplish so many things outside of yourself, but deep inside feeling terrible, and it leads to outer consequences that are not as obvious as the children, the career, you know, all these other things that might look good, having a certain kind of body, whatever it might be, that looks good on the outside but is highly fraught on the inside, really painful on the inside. So it's about taking things to the next level. So things, often my clients are very successful in some ways, but there's something missing, or there's something that they would like to achieve that just seems beyond where they are. And self-love, like real self-love in the way that we take it, in a way that's, it's such a deep experience. You know, it's a concept that's bandied about so much lately, but what it really means and to really live it is it's completely different paradigm. And so I help people step into that new paradigm of self-love so that doors are open that were so far beyond what they've achieved already in their lives. And so there's a deep happiness inside with as well along the journey, even without having yet arrived at everything that they might yet desire.
Well, it isn't just that whatever it is missing now. It can also be that they needed to go through the other things, like make this certain success, get married, or whatever the thing is that they needed, and then they realize it's still missing. And then finally,
absolutely,
they're willing to look at themselves. So I want to ask,
absolutely,
you another question. What are a couple of things that women and men can do today, right now, to change their love lives forever?
The number one thing is to really focus on your relationship with yourself. Are you spending time actually connecting with how you feel, what you're telling yourself, what stories are alive in your heart right now, and how those stories are affecting you? Because stories are powerful. Are, you know, in Native American traditions, stories are medicine, but stories can be poison if they're the things that most people I know are telling themselves inside all day long. I'm too fat. I'm too poor. I'm not pretty enough. I need to be working harder. I need to be doing better. Everybody, you know, I need for everybody else to approve of me for me to feel good about myself. I need for everybody else to behave a certain way for me to be happy. These stories that most people live with inside their heads are toxic. And so to be really willing And so one of the things I lead my clients through is a systematic approach to this, how to do this through a method that really works as opposed to just kind of a vague intention. But fundamentally, it comes down to a willingness to really engage with these voices and then to introduce the voice of love and to really connect with higher guidance about what's possible for somebody and really connect with higher guidance about how higher guidance would see things, because that's something that people are cut off from very often. People do not really have an openness to hearing the positive stories, the healing stories, truth, honestly. It's the truth. It's the truth that you are infinitely lovable, that you are infinitely worthy, that this is just part of your nature. But there, people are not willing to hear that because they're so attached to something in their stories that protects them from something, because they don't know how to handle their feelings and they don't know how to live without the approval of others or whatever they think they're going to sacrifice if they give up these stories. So it's the willingness to take the time to do the work, to look at what you're doing and open to a healing perspective.
And also, when you really do open up to accepting yourself with your infinite potential, you're much more able to accept the other person as they are.
Absolutely.
And to see their possibilities instead of judging and criticizing and thinking you got a raw deal here and all of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can see another person more accurately, because sometimes it is appropriate to just leave somebody and move on to other potentials. And sometimes there's a potential right before you that you'll never see as long as you're holding it in the story of your conditioning so far. And this all sounds so, like I said, people have this idea that it has to be so painful, but it's not different from the pain that you're living with and just taking for granted every day. It's just a willingness to really grapple with it, look at it, and go into it, because you're suffering already, that level of suffering, if you're not actively working on it. And
well,
to
you're
actively
not just
take
suffering.
It on.
You also, there are so many ways to suppress that suffering, like eating, drinking, going out, exercising. There's a million ways to escape from really feeling that pain, so you think you're not feeling it.
Right, but I think that there's a suffering in the sense that the lack of fulfillment that's there, the emptiness that's there, the frustration, you know, that's hidden in the patterns. But people don't want to take these things on because they don't know how. So that's the kind of support I offer, is a how. It's a way into a new possibility.
That's wonderful. And now, please tell us about your summit, because before we run out of time, tell us what people can expect from the summit.
The summit, I'm so pleased. It's called Love on the Way, How to Be Happy and Whole on the Path to Healthy Relationship. And it's primarily geared towards single people, although there's so much that's truly, truly beneficial for all people, because we're looking at, like I said, it's about how to be happy and whole where you are for its own sake, because life is right now. If you're not happy and whole on the journey to the things that you want to manifest in your life, that's missing the point. You know, it's things that you're seeking won't actually make you happy and whole. So to be able to be in joy and in love right now and to actually attain that is worth it for its own sake, but it also happens to put you in the strongest position and the most available position to the love that you really want to create with someone else, to the love that you want to experience in a new partner or in the partnership you're already in. Whenever you are able to experience that wholeness in yourself, and it is a process, let's be real, it's not something that happens overnight, but to really engage in that, it has felt miraculous to me in my own life to actually attain that after struggling for so long. And so to have found methods and modalities that have brought me to a point of being actually truly content and happy and satisfied with myself and not telling myself I need to change to become worthy of love or things like that actually makes me available to something healthy, because I don't put up with unhealthy situations. I'm not attracted to unhealthy situations. I'm enjoying my life so much as it is. And And I'm living in contact with my vision and my potential for my life. And it's just a completely different, like, it's stratum to live on. So the purpose of the summit is to support people in attaining that so that they are in an authentically strong position to connect with the relationship of their dreams.
So how do you speakers and what can they... What can they expect to get from the summit? But how many speakers and how is it going to be and what can they expect?
We have about 21 speakers right now. Some additional ones may be coming along. You can sign up at loveontheway.org or through the link on Dr. Erica's radio page here. And it starts this Saturday the 20th, and we're going to run into early April because we're only releasing one interview a day so that people actually have time to listen to all of them. Each will be released for just 24 hours, or you can buy the lifetime access package for just $47. And we are sharing so many different perspectives from healers, psychotherapists, love coaches, self-love experts, dating experts, people with all different perspectives on this, but all who are so aligned with the overall, you know, perspective that we're all about, which is that this is not about gimmicks and games and trying to do a better mating dance or trying to, you know, make yourself become something different, but really just to understand your wholeness where you are and to connect with that wholeness where you are while also opening to, you know, new understandings of how to connect with people in relationships and how to date successfully. You know, so we're still talking about things like online dating and, you know, what it actually means to be in feminine energy when you're a powerful woman and, you know, in a way that's not about changing who you are, you know. I used to find the whole becoming more feminine thing, you know, a little triggering because I thought somebody was trying to tell me to be different from who I am. And now that I understand that differently, you know, I'm like, okay, well, more people should have access to these new understandings. So we have so many speakers just bringing in lots and lots of grounded, practical, deeply wise perspectives on approaching self-love and connections with other people.
And I find that sometimes any one of us could hear the same message, but a different person, and they say it just slightly differently, and we relate
Absolutely.
To it, and then you suddenly get it. So
that's so,
so anyway,
true.
let's just finish with a few. What would be your advice to someone on what they can do right now to heal and create love?
My number one advice, to be honest, is to get support. I would never have been able to work through the massive amounts of resistance that I was facing in myself without support. It was just not going to happen. When you don't have a very strong basis in self-love to begin with, it's hard to stick with a commitment to yourself. It's hard to stick with the practices you may be learning. It's hard to maintain the commitment long enough to gain momentum and to really gain insight and begin to change the patterns within yourself, because we're talking about patterns that are decades old. And so it does take time and effort. And to have the support and to have the outside perspectives of somebody else, that's one of the other benefits of a summit like this, is that you're connecting with a lot of potential mentors, people who have been vetted already by me, in this case, for integrity, for quality, for groundedness, for wisdom. And so I also like that I'm connecting people with potential mentors in the specific healing area, because like I said, I can't think of a single person who's transformed this stuff by themselves. And I'm talking about like some of the wisest and most committed people I know. They still were not going to actually do it without support. So that's the basis of what this summit is all about, is that support. But it's just a starting point, honestly. So to get sustained support in some way, absolutely is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Carlina, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk about your summit and to share about yourself. You have a wonderful
background.
Thank you
so much, Dr. Erica.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want a session?
My name is Carlita with a K, K-A-R-L-I-T-A, and my website is carlita.org. And I have a new application form coming up for consultation calls that's being finalized this week. But I would encourage people, first of all, just to tune into the summit. Even if you're not registered for day one, tune in for as long as you can and listen to all of those events. And by signing up for that, you'll also be in touch with me and you'll hear from me as well with new events and opportunities coming up. So I would love for everybody to be as exposed as possible to all of the incredible wisdom on this series. So, and that is loveontheway.org, or you can click the link that Dr. Erica has on the radio page here.
Well, Carlita, thank you so much for participating today, and I'm excited to watch your summit and be part of it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica. It's an honor. It was such a joy to interview you, and I'm excited to share you with people, too. So thank you.
And for those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, where you can apply for a complimentary Healing Through Love session and browse the site. There's lots of articles and videos and audios, lots of stuff there for free, most of it for free. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.